You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 20th of August 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Once again, we've reached the end of another week. Friday is here, and the weekend is just about to begin, and you know what that means. It means I have Grandpa Dan with me today from all the way over there in Texas. Grandpa, how you doing, sir? How you doing? Are you happy? Are you cheerful? Is it a good day over there? Tell us.
It's just another day of living the dream, Sven. Time flies when you're having fun. I was just sitting here thinking, contemplating about how long you and I have been at this. You know, it's hard to believe the way the time flies by. It's just an amazing thing. Yet here we are, still plugging away at it. It's great to be here once again with everybody. I know everybody looks forward to Fridays when we get to sit down and have these little visits.
6 or 7 years, I think we've been doing this now. You've been with us right since the beginning there. You've always, hardworking, producing that podcast every week. And our views have evolved quite a bit over the years. And we thought what we'd do today is maybe talk a little bit about what we stand for as nationalists and what we hope to achieve. And I think the main thing that I hope to really achieve is just to inspire people to be the best that they can possibly be, to do the best for their community, do the best for their people, set a good example. And of course, the way to do that is a little bit different now to the way that we're taught by the government and the mainstream narrative, which of course we disagree with. We don't think it's right to be teaching toddlers about homosexual activities. We don't think it's right to be teaching toddlers that they can be boys or girls and encouraging them to be the different gender. We don't think it's right to set them on a pathway that could end up with them being mutilated, body mutilation. We think what we should be doing is reinforcing gender, encouraging little boys to associate with being little boys and little girls to associate with being little girls. We think it's right to encourage people to marry somebody that looks like them so that they give their grandparents grandchildren that look like them. We think people are best off living amongst their own kind, the same as you're brought up within your family and you're closest to your family. And we think that the best way to live is amongst your extended family, which is what we see happening in the natural world. And it's also what we see happening in different countries. And of course, we get slandered and we get smeared for this, and we get told that we must hate everybody else because we love our own people. And that's not true. We want the best for everybody. We want the best for all races. And we think races and ethnicities are best off once they are within their own people, when they're free to develop and evolve at the pace that nature intended. That's when we see these beautiful different cultures that we see in the world. That's when we get a genuine diversity of cultures and peoples. When they're all pressed together within one territory, you just get a globalist mass consumerist culture of McDonald's and supermarkets and what's that supermarket you have? Walmart everywhere and Amazon everywhere now, and everywhere looks the same, and you don't have anything different anymore. And our countries are being sold off. Our resources are being sold off. Our natural resources are being sold off. And while all this is going on and while our culture is being destroyed, the government are saying, look the other way, go to the gay disco, dance at the gay disco, dance with the transsexuals, have the drag queens there at story hour for the toddlers in the library. Look at all this freedom you have. Don't look at the knife crime in the cities. Don't look at the crime rate. Don't look at the rape rate. Don't look at the fact that you can no longer afford to buy a house. Just go along to the gay disco and dance over there. That's what the government are saying. And we're trying to point this out. We're trying to point out that there is a better way to live. We're trying to say that we took a wrong turn somewhere some years back, probably around about after the end of the Second World War, when our governments decided that they were going to completely change the demographic makeup of our countries. Europe used to be, or Britain in particular, used to be 99.9% white until just after the war. And it had a very low crime rate, and it was the envy of the world. We had the British Empire, which some people may say was a bad thing, but it actually brought civilization to peoples that didn't have civilization. We taught them democracy, we brought them education, we brought them medicine, we did away with slavery, we did all these good things, and now we're being taught to look back at our ancestors and see them all as being racists and see them all as being slave owners. We're essentially defecating on our ancestors, and that is not the way to be. We should be proud of our ancestors, and we should be trying to live up to their expectations. And people will say that race comes into this, and apparently we are horrible racists, and we don't want to see racism. We don't want to see discrimination. We think the way to do away with racism is just to have peoples living within their own territories. Then you cannot have discrimination. Is there racism in Africa? Is there racism in China? No, there isn't. You only get racism in multicultural places, and you only get conflict in multicultural places at the sort of levels that we see happening in places like London, which has this massive crime rate. So we suggest that a way to deal with this is to have what we call voluntary repatriation, where the government would say to peoples that do not have an ethnic heritage in white countries, if you would like to go back to where your ethnic heritage is from, we would be happy to pay you money to do so and help you set up businesses and all the rest of it. And we also suggest that when you have criminals that have carried out serious crimes and they have an ethnic heritage that is different to the British heritage, then they should be encouraged to go back to where their ethnic heritage came from. And they could be encouraged by saying, well, you can have a lesser prison sentence if you agree to do that. We could offer their families rewards if they were to go back to the country of their heritage. You know, we're not talking about being mean to anybody or being violent to anybody or being horrible to anybody. We are just saying that if immigration continues at the pace that it is at the moment, and if the non-whites in our countries continue to breed at the pace that they do at the moment, there's no reason why they should stop, then we ourselves will be a minority within 40 years within the countries that our ancestors built. We will be the minority. And instead of it just being London where we're the minority, it will be the whole of Great Britain where white people are the minority. And if you look at the way minorities are treated in countries where they are the minority, one particular one that springs to mind is South Africa, that is not something that you would want, is it? And blacks and non-whites have always said they don't like being in the minority. They don't like being a minority because they get discriminated against. So how about we do away with discrimination and we just have people living within their own territory? You wouldn't necessarily have to have people even move out of the country. You could just have separate parts of the country for people to live in. You could say, well, this is a white area, white people can live here. This is a black area, black people can live there. This is a multicultural area. People that like diversity, they can go and live there. What is wrong with saying that? Why is that seen as somehow inciting hate or being racist or being white supremacist? I don't think it is. I think it is just the way to live naturally. And I've gone on quite a bit here, Grandpa, rambling about our views and what we stand for. Would you like to add to that?
Well, you know, like the old saying says, diversity plus proximity equals war or conflict. And this is just the way things have always played out through history. There's nothing wrong with diversity, but when you force people into being closer together, you're naturally going to have conflict. I think one of the things that's really important, we stand as nationalists, we stand for the natural order of things. And it's easy, even when you're aware that the media lies, the media is feeding you fake news constantly, you know, the media constantly lies. But still, it tends to have an effect, I think. It tends to creep in on people's psyche, and it starts breaking them down. The media says, oh, we are nationalists. Like, these things we stand for, these are natural, normal things. I mean, this was just a few short decades ago. This was the normal. This is the way everybody viewed things. But now we're in clown world. So we no longer have that situation. We stand for the natural order. Now, the media says, oh, well, these nationalists are all extremists. They're haters. They're racist, blah, blah, blah. And that's absolutely, of course, not true. But people need to internalize that and realize it's not true and be on defense about it. There's nothing we promote that means hatred. These people say they're for the people that push this agenda. They say they're for diversity, but they're not. As you've pointed out, real diversity means people progress at their normal rate. I mean, we look, the big news here in the past week has been, you know, Afghanistan reverting back to its natural state of being run by the Taliban. Now, people are all upset about this, but that is the way of life that they want. You know, people say, oh, well, they're backwards. They have all these insults for these people. They're cave people. They're all of these things. And, oh, they do this to their women. They have this horrible way of life. But that's diversity. It means they're not like us. The problem comes if you bring them here. That's when you have conflict. As long as they're there living the way they want to live, it's none of our business. I see this a lot of times, you know, I just as a little silly example, I suppose, I'll watch, of course, my Korean dramas, and you read in the comments sometimes, because sometimes something will come up in one of these shows. It's just a reflection of, say, Korean society and the fact that they're a different people. And you will have these people, obviously from the West, most of them probably from America, and they're all triggered by this and they think there's something wrong. Now, these people, if you were to corner them up, I'm sure they would be quick to tell you how much they love diversity and how diversity is this great thing. But as soon as they see something that's part of a culture, which is a reflection of race, of another people, they get upset about it. They don't understand. They want to project their own personal value system onto other people. And see, that's what sets us apart. As nationalists, we don't want to do that. We do not want to project our value system on other people. One of the things you point out pretty regularly here lately, Sven, is, you know, you can't expect these other racial people to act like we are. You can't hold them to our standards. And that's exactly true. But yet, this is what you see time and time again from these self-proclaimed righteous leftists, whatever you want to call. In reality, they're the ones that want to project their own value system onto everybody else. We're the ones that say, well, look, all these people are fundamentally different. They have a different value system. It doesn't line up with our value system, but that's what makes diversity, well, diversity. All of these people are different. And again, that's not a problem when everybody is in their own country, surrounded by their own people in their own areas. There's no conflict. As you said, there's no racism there because everybody is of the same race. The problem is when you bring them here. Problem with people from the Middle East isn't that they're people from the Middle East. It's that you bring the Middle East here. The problem with people from Africa isn't that they're Africans and they do African things. That's not a problem when they're in Africa. The problem comes when you force them into this completely different nation of different peoples that have a different way of life, then you have this conflict. And the ones that promote this, you've got our governments, at, you know, as of course, obviously one of the driving forces doing this, they know this. So, I mean, there's no way they're so stupid that they don't realize this. So who's promoting conflict? We get accused constantly, oh, y'all are haters and you want conflict, but that's obviously not true. So the ones promoting conflict are the ones that realize that if you force these different peoples together, force them to live in close proximity, there is going to be conflict. You have to believe that this is being done intentionally. What are these governments doing? Why are they doing this? What is the agenda? And you'll get all kinds of theories on what that could possibly be. But the point is that it's not a surprise that you have these conflicts. And yet, where does the blame fall? It always falls on white people. It's somehow our fault. It's somehow our fault as white people. The conflict has to be our fault. But the conflict is the fault of those who bring about the situation that inevitably leads to conflict. And as again, as nationalists, we stand for the natural order of things. We don't want conflict. We want everybody to be able to live the lives that they want to live with their own people, which is what is natural to them. This state that we live in, this multicultural, diverse state that the West has now become, is completely unnatural. And I think it messes with everybody's minds. You got everybody like going all different forms of different levels of crazy, especially you throw in the whole virus nonsense. And you've got people now on different varying levels losing their shit, as I like to say. They're just losing their minds. People are getting crazy. One of the things I think we really do that's important here, Sven, at Radio Albion, is to promote sanity in people, to say, hey, you know, look, there's nothing wrong with you. You view the world correctly. You know, you're the one sane person in the insane asylum, so as to speak. Calm down, you know, get centered, to understand this is the natural. What we're living in is not natural. This is not the natural order. This is what the natural order looks like. It's everybody else's crazy. So, you know, we try to encourage people to basically maintain their sanity. It's a full-time job, sometimes a thankless job, but I think it's worth it, Sven.
Oh, it's definitely worth it. It's definitely worth it because you know that you're doing the right thing. You know that you're holding fast to the truth in a world that is full of lies. I think it's important to stress what you were saying there about when other people come here, you can't blame the other peoples for coming here. They're just doing what they think is best for themselves. The people that are to blame are our governments. They knew what would happen. I mean, when you have different peoples living together in one territory, it is a recipe for conflict. That's how civil wars begin. All you have to do is look at the Balkans and what happened there at the beginning of last century. All the studies that have been done about diversity, they show that it's not a strength. Christ told us that. He said a house divided against itself will not stand. It's not a conducive way to live. It's not conducive for us. It's not conducive for them. And our governments knew this. Our governments knew all about this, and yet they still arranged to invite all these peoples over here. And it's our governments that we wish to hold account for this. We wish to hold our own people to account for this. What we're concerned with here at Radio Albion is reaching out to white people and saying, look, do you understand that somewhere along the way you have taken a wrong turn? We have taken a wrong turn. And in, to a certain extent, we can blame our governments for this. We can blame the establishment for this. But essentially, they are made up of the same people as us. So really, it is us that are responsible for this. We have been weak. We've turned our back on our traditions. We've turned our back on all the things that our grandparents taught us and them. People before that, and we thought that we know better than them, and because we thought that we know better than them, we are now being punished for that, and we are actually the ones that are punishing ourselves in doing this. So you cannot blame black people for behaving in the way that black people do. That's just because they're black. It's because they are a different race. They have a different way of doing things. You can't blame Jews for doing the things that Jews do. They are a different race. They do things in a way that is unique to them. And of course, here at Radio Albion, because we are nationalists, we're interested in the differences between the different races, between the different ethnicities. I mean, it used to be called the study of anthropology. Nowadays, that's been changed to social anthropology, and they don't really properly look at the differences. But it's just natural to want to understand more about yourself, more about your people, where you come from, the sort of things that you're going to be good at, the sort of things that you're going to be bad at. And we can learn a lot from studying these other groups. Every extended kinship group has different strategies for advancing their cause. They have an evolutionary group strategy. Jews in particular have done very well with their evolutionary group strategy because they've managed to survive for thousands of years as a tiny minority. And they've developed ways in order to gain influence as that tiny minority, as we were talking about last week. Blacks have developed ways in order to gain an influence in their way of doing things. Their way of gaining an influence is to be particularly fecund. They breed at a much faster rate than white people do, about two or three times the rate that white people breed at. White people have developed a way where they invest a lot of time and effort into raising children, and they have less children. We still used to have quite a large number up until about the 50s and the 60s. But now the number of children that we're raising has dropped below replacement rate. And if you put that dropping of numbers below replacement rate against a group of people that have a replacement rate which is two or three times as high, which is black African people, for instance, then you don't have to be a genius to work out that within a few decades, there's going to be hardly any white people left and lots of black people there. And that's a completely unnatural situation to be in. And it's been brought about by our governments. And the reason why they've done this, I mean, people suggest lots of different reasons for it. Mainly, it's down to greed. That's the reason for it. And you can't blame other groups in society for encouraging it as well, because, of course, it's to their benefit to weaken their competitors. I mean, it's like a Darwinian struggle. I'm not a big fan of Darwinian evolution, but you can see that there is a struggle for the fittest amongst these different groups. And that's the way that it has always been. And that's why the ethnic minorities have their advocacy groups in our society. We have a multicultural society. We can't go back. We understand that it would be better if we had a monocultural society, if we had an ethnostate. We understand that that is the ideal. That is the natural way to live. But we change things so that we live in a multicultural country and we have different peoples here. And if you have different peoples together, you have to have representatives of your people. And this is what we see going on with the ethnic minorities. They have their own representatives. They have groups that are specifically set up to look out for black interests. Jews have groups which are specifically set up to look out for Jewish interests. And all of these groups do very, very well at advocating for their people. And there's only one people group that has nobody that advocates for their interests. And that's white people. We have nobody that advocates for our interests apart from nationalists, who then get accused of being racists and white supremacists and all these evil, horrible names that we get called. And all we're trying to do is the same thing that these other groups do. We just want to advance the cause of our people. We want to help our people. It hurts us when we see our people, and we read about thousands of them being raped, or we read about thousands of them being stabbed, or we hear about people being murdered. It grieves us to hear about that. It grieves us to hear about our children that are being encouraged to turn into transgenders and go on pathways that we know are going to end up with their bodies being mutilated, them being infertile, and probably them committing suicide through the depression of it all. I mean, this really does grieve us to hear this, and we want to do something about it, and we want people to know that they are not alone in thinking that all of this is wrong. There are other people out there that think in the same way that they do, and we have organizations. We're building organizations, community building organizations that can fulfill this role that the other groups in society have already managed to fill. They have their community-based groups. We're starting to build our community-based groups now. And again, they get accused of being Nazis and racists and all the rest of it. And it's just not true. And I can provide a good example of this. Sam Melia from Patriotic Alternative, the other day, he went out and he cleaned up a war memorial and he polished it up. And he did that with the aid of one of his neighbours. And the newspaper reported on it. A lovely report on, isn't this great? This lad here wants to help his community. He's cleaned up the war memorial. He's going to be back there in a month to do it again. Brilliant, beautiful article. And then the left got hold of it and they said, oh, hang on a minute. This guy is the Yorkshire organiser for Patriotic Alternative. How dare you promote Nazis and promote white supremacists? And the article was pulled down. And the newspaper said, oh, no, we can't possibly do this because he's a bad person. And why is Sam Melia a bad person? Because he wants to look after his community? Because he wants to clean up the war memorial? Because he wants to honour the war dead? Because he wants to improve the little park area where the war memorial was? Because he wants it to look tidy? He wants to respect it? I mean, these are good things. We are good people and we're trying to do good things. And we just get slandered and we get smeared and we get called all these horrible names. And people should really look past what is being said in the newspapers, and they should look to find out for themselves, particularly at things like Radio Albion. What you read about Radio Albion in the newspapers is all a pack of lies. And all you have to do is look at our website to understand that. And it's the same with Patriotic Alternative. You won't read anything positive about them in the press. But if you look at their website, it's all positive stuff. It is all good things that we're doing because we love our people. That's all there is to it. We love our people and we want the best for them. And there's nothing anybody is going to do to stop us from doing that. It's a righteous cause that we are involved in here.
Well, yeah. one thing people need to get through their heads is, you know, you brought up becoming minorities in our own countries. And a lot of times I think people in a state of denial, they look at all of these special privileges afforded to minorities. Now, and the one thing people need to understand is if this comes to pass, if and when this comes to pass, you're not getting those privileges. Those things are a one-way street. If you think that once white people are a minority in Britain or the U.S. or wherever, that all of a sudden you'll get affirmative action, all of a sudden you'll be at the front of the line to get admitted to university or to be hired for a job for diversity quotas, all of that goes out the window. It's like freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is one of our founding principles, but now that we're on the we're on the weaker end of that, freedom of speech goes out the window. Peaceful protest is a fundamental right, but now the leftists, the globalists, these communists, for lack of a better term, now that they have the upper hand, peaceful protest goes out the window. You don't have a right to that anymore. People need to understand that once you are a minority in your own country, you pointed at South Africa, and that's the best illustration. I always call that the Beta Project. You have to understand you're not going to get afforded those things. We're not trying to be doom and gloom here, but you have to be tuned into reality. A fundamental truth. This is a fundamental truth. Sven, you were talking about the way the media portrays us and the things they say, and you're going to get called all of these names. And what people need to understand, a fundamental truth in life, you can soak this in, you can take it this to the bank, is that you, the one thing you have no control, you don't have any control over what other people say. You have no control over what other people do. You have to internalize this. You have to make this real. You have to accept this in your mind. You don't have, when they call you names, when they slander you, when they tell lies about you, you don't have control over that. You can't control it, because if you don't understand and grasp that, you're going to get frustrated, and you're going to get, you're going to get angry. You're going to get frustrated, but you have no control over that. The only thing you have control over is yourself. That is the only thing. You can't control what other people do, whether they're strangers, people in your family, people that live in your house. You literally cannot control what other people think, say, or do. You have control over yourself. So what becomes important is, how do you conduct yourself? How do you view the world? How do you center yourself? One thing our people have got to get over is this bullshit about being afraid of being called names. I mean, you think about this. We already know that if you become a minority in Britain, the West, the U.S., wherever, you're not going to be afforded these privileges. We're seeing our societies being ripped apart. You see this destructive thing. You see them introducing more and more chaos. They make these empty promises that they're going to do something about it, but they never do. You see this ongoing march off the cliff. And yet what? Everybody is afraid that they're going to get called names. I think our ancestors have to be rolling over in their graves to be thinking that, you know, all of this is taking place, and there's only a handful of people, when you get down to it, there's only a handful of people that are willing to stand up and say anything, because everybody else is terrified that they're going to get called names. That's what we're down to here. Now, I mean, obviously they're starting to get more heavy-handed here, besides just name calling. They're getting more heavy-handed. But at the end of the day, this is what has kept people petrified. This is what has kept people afraid. They're afraid they're going to be called names. Again, you have no control over the fact that they're going to call you these things. You can't stop that. You have to realize you don't have the power to do that. Other people are going to say and do what they want to do and say. But you do have control over yourself. Get over the fact that they're going to call you names and stand for the truth. One of the overriding themes here at Radio Albion, And I wanted to kind of get off into this real quick if I can. We have an overriding theme here is Christian theme. We have an overriding Christian theme. Now, everybody comes from a different, say, perspective with that. You got Dr. Johnson, who's Orthodox, and Sven, I know you're very much Christian identity. I'm just somewhere out here. But there is this overarching theme of Christianity, and this is important too. As I said before, we stand for the natural order of things. What we're living in is not the natural order of things, and Christianity is the natural order of things. If you are in rebellion against the natural order, as we've already pointed out here, our societies are, then by that extension, you're in rebellion as a people against God. You can go to your Old Testament and see how that always winds up playing out. God established the natural order. The natural order is inseparable from God. That is the system he put in place. Now that our nations are in open rebellion, and people, down to this vague concept, the people are in rebellion against the natural order of things. And so the people are in a rebellion against God. Everybody looks around and it's like, oh, why are our societies such a mess? Because the people, the societies are in rebellion against God in many ways, in many different areas and facets. Just a top of my head example of this is in the Bible. You are told what? The natural order of things is to go forth, be fruitful and multiply. Sven, you were talking about how these other peoples, they breed like crazy. But what are we doing? We're doing the opposite of the biblical admonition to go forth, be fruitful and multiply through birth control, abortions, and everything else. We're purposely sterilizing ourselves. Well, think about that. Birth control is to purposely sterilize yourself so that you don't go forth, be fruitful and multiply. This is a form of rebellion against God. It's a form of rebellion against the natural order. You can sit here and say, oh, these backward third world people, they breed like roaches. They're doing the natural order of things. We're the ones that are weird here. We as a people are the ones that are doing the weird thing. What people in the history of the world go around and say, let's purposely sterilize ourselves because it'll be more fun or something. We're in rebellion. Our nations are in rebellion. The people are in rebellion against natural order of things, which is what God has established, which puts these people, these nations, in rebellion against God. You read your Old Testament. How does that play out? Well, look around us. It looks like a biblical judgment, doesn't it? And I think that this is where the overriding Christian theme here at Radio Albion really comes into play. And I don't know that people always put that together. Well, why do y'all always talk about Christianity? What does that have to do? I'm just interested in politics. You can't separate the two, because what is happening in our societies, what is happening in the world around us, is definitely tied to Christianity and understanding the natural order as what God has created. We're in rebellion against these things, and they're not separate. You can't separate them. What God has established is the natural order, and there's no way you can look at our societies today and not know that they're in rebellion to the natural order of things.
Yeah, it's God and the natural order that we basically stand for. And I think these other races are setting a better example than us. I mean, you look at the solidarity that you see amongst the Jews. You look at the praising there is of the large families amongst the blacks. I mean, even if you look at the fidelity that you see amongst Muslims, all of it are things that we have lost as white people. And we really need to get back to them. I mean, we could really continue with this, but we should probably round off now. And I did want to say, I can't really talk about the court case, but I was in court this week, and I know that people want to find out ways that they can help me. And the very best way that you can help me is to write to stormersubs@hushmail.com or leave a message in the Discus comments or send me a message on Telegram or any of the ways that you have to contact me. And what I want to hear about why people listen to Radio Albion. I want to hear the sort of things you enjoy us talking about and whether we have inspired you to do anything, whether you enjoy listening to the podcasts about history, whether you enjoy learning about religion, whether we have inspired you to start making music again, or whether we've inspired you to paint or draw pictures or start podcasting, whether we inspired you to get involved in a community-based group. I want to know the effect that Radio Albion has on you, the effect that it has had on your life, how important it is to you. And I want to know all these things for a variety of reasons, but it will really help me if you could do that. Particularly if you want to leave comments on any of the Beginner's Guide to Radio Albion podcasts that I've put up, that would be a great place to leave comments if you do. So please just write to me and tell me why you enjoy listening to Radio Albion and what effect it has had on your life, if any, good or bad. I want to hear about all of it. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.